Welcome to a new episode of the 3-Bid League podcast. As always, I am Tyler, joined by Matt. And today, we welcome you all to part two of our team-by-team preview series. We will once again be doing four teams in this edition. The quicker three-team previews will be coming in the coming weeks. Today, we're going to go over St. Louis, Davidson, and both of the Philly schools, St. Joe's and LaSalle. Matt, are you excited to make the St. Louis fans angry today?
I don't think that's going to happen this year quite as bad. The expectations aren't quite as high in Billiken Nation, although St. Louis could have a good team this year. A lot of people thought they might be the third bid at the end of last season, but just fell short by a little bit. They were in a one seed in the NIT, so hoping they don't get too offended this time around, but we'll see. You just never know with A-10 fans.
So before they get too fired up, do these people understand that you root for the Cardinals?
No, but I almost feel like I don't want to bring that up because I feel like they wouldn't accept me for that. So kind of just keep that close to the vest. I don't know. Maybe that could get on their good side, though. That is a good point. Although I feel like St. Louis, they could have a lot of other fans, too. Maybe not just the Cardinals. So I feel like that's just... Usually, like, I guess St. Louis is different as a city, but usually advertising that you're a Cardinals fan is just not a good idea. Not going to make a lot of friends that way, so haven't really made that known to the A-10 community very much.
Best fans in basketball, that's what they call the joint Cardinal-Billiken fans.
That's right.
And so we will kick things off with St. Louis. For a reminder for anyone who didn't catch it on the first episode, we are going to set the timer for 10 minutes. We'll go over who's coming back because at this point, the amount of players leaving teams is in some cases more than the guys that we remember who have returned. We will go over our two biggest questions for the team and the one thing that they need to do to improve from last season. So without further ado, the St. Louis Billikens bring back most of their squad, the two seniors graduating on, no outgoing transfers except for Demaryius Jacobs.
So also, Jimmy Bell Jr. too left the program. Didn't play much last year, though. Yeah.
Bummer. They bring back a lot of guys that we know, though. Javonte Perkins, the preseason A-10 Player of the Year favorite. Yuri Collins, Gibson Jimerson, and a whole bunch of interesting different role guys, Terrence Hargrove Jr., Fred Thatch, Martin Lindzen, Mekhi Strickland, who played a little bit. And they add a ton of transfers. Francis Okoro from Oregon, who sat out last year but was with the team. Jordan Nesbitt played, I think, three games for Memphis. Rashad Williams, who was an all-conference player at Oakland. And this is a fascinating SLU roster, one with a super high ceiling but with a lot of questions.
Yeah, I would agree with the high ceiling part, and it is tough to figure out. I feel like we say this about every single team, but especially St. Louis, because I think you could make a case that they lost maybe the most talent in the conference, losing Jordan Goodwin and Hassan French. But you could also make a case that they added the most talent, too, especially with Francis Okoro and Jordan Nesbitt, both coming from power programs, very high ceiling guys, and there's a chance if those guys all hit their stride in their first season in a Billiken uniform, it wouldn't be that out of the question to see St. Louis return to the dance, but there are a lot of questions that need to get answered for this team.
Yeah, and I guess I'll just jump right in because I think most people would say the offense will probably be better this year. I'm not fully sold on that, but they definitely have more flexibility on that end. So my bigger concern is on the defensive end. You lose two absolute studs on that side. So I'm wondering, does St. Louis have an all defensive caliber player on this roster? Probably Yuri Collins, but it kind of depends on the assignments he's going to take. Sometimes we've seen him in the past take the second best guard while Goodwin handles the toughest assignment. I think Collins could grow into that role, but we don't have enough proof to be fully confident.
I think Yuri has a chance. Fred Thatch is a really good defender. I just don't really see him playing enough minutes at the end of the season to get...
He's not good enough offensively.
Right. And then Francis Okoro could be a wild card. Didn't play a ton of minutes at Oregon, but seems like he could be a very solid defensive big man. But you're right. I think defense is definitely the big question for this team, losing two all-conference caliber defenders. And this was also a team that really... I wouldn't have called them a great defensive team last year. Not really what we were used to from St. Louis. They were still good, but they slipped to fifth in defensive efficiency in the conference last year. And I don't really see them getting any better. Sure, I could see them still being middle of the pack. Unless these transfers are better than I'm expecting on defense, and maybe we get a surprise from like Terrence Hargrove or someone like that that takes a big leap in that direction. I don't see this being an elite St. Louis defensive team.
Yeah, they're going to need a really good season on D from either Hargrove, Okoro, or Jordan Nesbitt. Three really impressive athletes who all seem to be kind of unpolished on that side. It'll be a nice little task for Travis Ford. And I wonder if maybe he got through to one of them over the summer.
Yeah, and then another area too that takes a big hit with the departures from this team is rebounding, where you lose two guys that 2 years ago, Jordan Goodwin and Hassan French both averaged over 10 rebounds a game. You lose. It's going to be a good rebounding team, but I don't think they're going to be in the top of the conference in that area again. So I guess my question, we're so used to St. Louis just bullying teams on the offensive glass. That's really how they get so many of their points. Can they still be one of the better offensive teams in the conference, even if they aren't one of the top rebounding teams? Because they could be, but without especially Hassan French, it's got to be tough to get that production back again.
I think they still will be because they're going to play a big lineup. I think Perkins has actually got a chance to grow in that area. That's probably the piece that's most likely to take a jump for him, if anything, does take a jump in year five. Only four a game. Quite frankly, I'm surprised. I thought it was a little bit better than that. Fred Thatch playing more minutes is going to help a lot because he's just a tank. And he may only be 6'3", but I'd feel pretty confident putting that guy at power forward and just letting him go to work, boxing out guys 4 or 5 inches taller than him. If he's playing big minutes to help the D, he'll help the rebounding a lot too.
Yeah, and I actually think Thatch ended up with one of the highest offensive rebounding rates in the conference. Part of that had to do with it. It seemed like whenever I watched him, he would have these moments where he'd miss his own putback two or three times, but he just kept getting the ball back. I think he's as good as any player in the conference at keeping those loose balls alive. And, you know, he's not Jordan Goodwin. I don't think it would be fair at all to expect him to do half what Jordan Goodwin did, but he is a kind of similar type of player in that he can get those hustle plays, get those rebounds as a smaller guard. So he's going to be crucial this year, I think.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if Okoro just leads the conference in rebounding.
Yeah, definitely a chance.
Four game in Oregon in limited minutes, and he's such a freaky athlete. He should be great on the boards.
Yeah, it really does seem, without seeing him play very much, does seem like he is similar to Hassan French. I think he is pretty much the same skill set, just a very physical player. So I do think Travis Ford got a good one in him. Very excited to see him play. And he also, I mean, he might have been playing hurt at the end of his time with Oregon because he did sit out last year, had some time to rehab, maybe get stronger. So potentially a very big season incoming from him. We just don't really know yet, though.
So my second question is basically, who is Yuri Collins? We need to find out that answer this season. He's a great passer. He's a good defender. He's a decent rebounder for the fact that he's 6 foot tall. Other than that, we don't know. He'll obviously be deferring to Javonte Perkins on the offensive end, but with Goodwin and French gone, the paint should be wide open for St. Louis. And we're going to find out really quickly if the reason he wasn't going to the hoop was because of the presence of those two guys or because he might just be a little bit of a passive scorer. Tristan called him Rajon Rondo on the top 20 pod. I've made that comparison before too. He reminds me of early Rondo on those really good Celtics teams who really just didn't want to take a jump shot. And I don't think Jiri's ever going to be a good jump shooter, but they need him to be good at the rim, and they need him to take a lot of shots at the rim. So if he can do that, then he probably will be a top 20 guy, but I'm skeptical. And if he's not, then someone else is going to have to emerge as a great scorer.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a chance. He is very small, though. I know they list him at 6 feet tall, but I'm not sure I quite buy that. Only a 40% field goal percentage last year, though. So I think he definitely could go up. Only 5.1 points a game last year. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him get up to 8 or 9, but I don't know. I really think besides Perkins, it's probably going to come down to some of the other guards. Like Gibson Jimerson could be a double-digit scorer. Maybe if Rashad Williams ends up being a great three-point shooter off the bench, you never know. So I don't know. I'm not sure I see Jiri filling up the scoreboard all that much, but he will be very important. Did improve his assists last year, or his assist-to-turnover ratio, I should say, last year. So if he keeps doing that, that would be a big step in helping St. Louis still be an efficient offensive team. So I guess really my last question, I think Javonte Perkins, we all know he's going to be a superstar. I think he's got a very good chance to be all conference first team, good chance to be player of the year if he ends up scoring as many points as we expect. But I do think for St. Louis to reach the potential heights of being an NCAA tournament caliber team, they're going to need another star, another all-conference level player. So I just wonder, can one of their transfers break out and reach that level? And I think the two candidates are Okoro and then Jordan Nesbitt from Memphis, who we haven't talked about as much and seems like a very interesting prospect. Came in as a highly rated recruit, was recruited by St. Louis, but eventually committed to Memphis, where he didn't get much of a chance last year. I know Billiken fans have a lot of hopes for him. Seems like he could play a very important role on the wing, but I almost feel like he needs to be as good as advertised if St. Louis is going to have a chance at being one of the top three teams in the conference.
So this is pretty similar to my how do they improve over last year, and that's that they need to find a second stud scorer. Because I don't really see a pathway to the defense being as good as last season. So they're going to have an upper echelon offense. And they lose Goodwin, who was their second best offensive player. They need someone not only to be as good as Goodwin in terms of getting the ball into the basket, but they need somebody to be better. I think it probably falls on the shoulders of Nesbitt. I think Okoro can probably replace the French production on offense while not coming quite to his heights on defense. The wild card is Rashad Williams to me. He's going to be able to score. He's proven that even though he's coming from the Horizon League, I don't think he'll have a big issue adapting to the A-10. But I wonder about his defense, and I think he might be more of a spark plug sixth man guy the more I read. So I think he'll help, but I don't think he's the answer. It probably has to be Nesbitt, unless it's just some great collective effort between Collins and Jimerson and Rashad Williams.
See, honestly, when I see Rashad Williams, and then I know we'll move on after this, but I can't decide if I think he's going to have a huge impact and be one of the leading three-point shooters, or, you know, I could also see him just being Tay Weaver 2.0, where he's just a nice role player to have off the bench that can make a three, but I don't know if he'll match that production he had in the Horizon League. If he does, though, I mean, he had some big seasons, especially I think he was even better as an underclassman than last year, so there's a chance. But yeah, it just, who knows who's going to be that second leading scorer on the team.
I think he probably ends up somewhere between, kind of like right in this beautiful middle ground between Javon Bess and Tay Weaver.
I guess
basically the better description would be improved Tay Weaver. Yeah. I think the skill set's going to be about the same, but he's just going to be better at doing those things.
Yeah, I could see that. But anyways, that's about all I have on St. Louis. Are you ready to move on?
Yep, we move on to the Davidson Wildcats. They lose the great senior backcourt of Collins and Grady, but they bring back most of the remaining squad. Hyungjoon Lee, ready for a potential breakout year. Sam Mananga, Luka Brajkovic's coming back for his senior season. Mike Jones, Grant Huffman, Nelson Bochy-Edom, he's still here. That's a fun one.
A favorite of the podcast.
they pick up a rare transfer. Foster Lawyer comes in from Michigan State. He was the backup point guard for the Spartans last year. And then if you're reading the Davidson fans on Twitter, you've been hearing about Des Watson for 6-7 months now. Freshmen don't always necessarily break out immediately at Davidson, but he should provide them some good wing shooting immediately.
I almost feel with Davidson, it's got to be tough for them to be a true contender in the league, losing Kellen Grady and Carter Collins, two very solid guards last year, Grady being one of the best in the conference. But I almost feel like having Bob McKillop and bringing back some good upperclassmen like Lee and Brajkovic, it almost feels like this team has one of the highest ceilings in the conference. I just don't really see them. I don't see them contending, and I don't really see them getting a double bye even, but I also don't see how they go under 500, really. I don't know if you feel the same way, though, but I almost feel that way about Davidson every year, and this isn't an exception.
I kind of feel the opposite. I don't see a path to contending unless we see South Korean national team version of Hyungjoon Lee and a very good Foster Lawyer.
Yeah, he will be important, for
we
sure.
We disagree on Brajkovic, too, where I kind of think we just know what Luka Brajkovic is. He was 11-6 last year. He'll get the ball a little bit more, so maybe he's like 13-6, 13-7. He's a great guy to have if he's your number three, but I haven't seen the growth in his game that would be indicative of the stardom that we thought maybe he could get to in his freshman year.
Yeah, I almost feel like Brajkovic, and I talked about him a bit in our top 20 players podcast, and I almost feel like he's a lesser version of Kellen Grady, and that he was really, like, surprisingly good as a freshman, and that he never got all that much better. I feel like if we saw him start out at, like, 4 points a game as a freshman, A-10 fans would be loving him now. I just think there's a lot of value in a guy like that. You know what you're going to get over the course of the season. He's a lock to average double figures. He's going to be up there leading a very good defensive rebounding team in rebounds, most likely. So I just think the fact that he's always been an important piece to their team, he's experienced on a team in a system that values experience, I think he's going to be important this year. And he also, the one thing he did improve on last year was his three-point shooting, which is always important at Davidson, and even more so this year, losing a couple of good shooters from the outside.
Yeah, and he's the reason that they won't fall below the 8-9 game, which basically would mean slightly under 500, like 7-11 at worst. Mm-hmm. He's going to win them two or three games on his own. But for them to hit their ceiling, it's about everybody else. And so my first question is, what's the arsenal from Hyungjoon Lee this year? He's a great spot-up shooter, but I'm not sure they have the guards to get him good spot up looks. And so for him to not only take the next step, but basically to even get back to the 13.5 points he was at last year, he's going to have to do a lot of stuff off the dribble. He showed flashes of it in the two Olympic qualifying games. He was playing for South Korea this summer. That's all we've seen from it. And he was pretty inefficient in one of the two games. Now, South Korea was horribly overmatched in both of those matchups, but yeah, can Hyungjoon Lee add something else to his game and not just rely on Foster Lawyer and Grant Huffman always putting him in the right spot?
Yeah, Lee's going to be important this year for sure. I think there's, you know, Davidson's best chance is if he is the leading scorer and the best offensive player. I do think his ability to finish at the rim gets a little bit underrated because he is such a good three-point shooter, but he is good in traffic. And I think another important thing for him, too, he was a passer himself this year, losing a couple guards that were getting a lot of assists. So that is important, though. If Davidson is going to be one of the better teams in the conference, he's got to live up to that, you know, first or second team potential that he has. And that is a question. Can Davidson's other players set him up for success and get him the ball in the best spots?
Yeah, I honestly, I don't see that really happening. I think he's got to be the one to create the stardom himself.
Yeah.
He's not going to get to 16 points a game on catch and shoot jumpers on a team that doesn't have guard play as good as they had two seasons ago.
Well, so that's really my big question with this team. And I wouldn't even just talk about two seasons ago. I'd say since Davidson's been in the A-10, unless Foster Lawyer ends up being like one of the top 10 players in the conference, which could happen. But even if that happens, this is probably going to be the weakest guard play that Davidson's had since they joined the A-10. You go back to the first year where they won the regular season, they had Tyler Kalinowski, Player of the Year. They had a young Jack Gibbs. The next season, they bring in John Axel. The year after that, they get Kellen Grady. This team's been loaded in the backcourt every season since they've been in the league. And now this year, it comes down to a former highly rated recruit from a great school, Michigan State, but Lawyer didn't play all that much there. And then Grant Huffman, who really didn't have any impact offensively, had some good flashes, but those are going to be the two main ball handlers, unless I'm missing someone on this team, at least out of the backcourt.
No, it's going to be those two. And Davidson has brought back an all-conference guard all but one year that they were in the A-10. Mm-hmm. And that was the season that Jack Gibbs ended up becoming a star and John Axel Goodmanson became a emerging side piece. And Gibbs closed the year before pretty solidly. He was certainly on the all-conference radar going into the season. So this is uncharted territory for Davidson.
Yeah, and they're also – I mean, they're thin in the backcourt too, because after those two guys, I'd say Mike Jones is more of a wing. He doesn't handle the ball a ton.
I've never thought of Mike Jones as a two guard. I always thought he was just an undersized three.
And then they've got Emery Lanier, who's basically the backup point guard, I guess, but he only played 9 games last year as a freshman, so – that's really about it, which it is going to allow Davidson that they're probably going to play some pretty big lineups as a result of not having much guard depth, but just not going to be what we're used to seeing from them.
Yeah, they're going to be huge. And because we're running short on time, I'll just jump into my next question. Another guy that would make them huge, Sam Menenga, the starting power forward.
Mm-hmm.
He, kind of like Luka Brankovic his freshman year, he impressed us at moments. He's really good He's decent at basically every skill he has to have, but I don't know what he's really good at. And I think he could be a great post player after Brankovic leaves, but those two don't work together on the block at the same time. So my number two question is, what's Sam Menenga going to add to – this is really just a less advanced version of my Hale June Lee question, honestly. What does Sam Menenga become really good at? What can we point to at the end of this year and say, this is Sam Menenga's calling card? Because if he's kind of just decent at everything, then he's just another role guy, and Davidson's got plenty of them already.
Yeah, they don't need him to do that. I think what I liked about Menenga last year, he did improve their team's interior presence, clearly one of their strongest players. But unlike their other like true center, Nelson Bochy-Edom, Menenga can actually spread the floor out a little bit. He's got to improve on his 22% from three. That's just not going to cut it at Davidson. So I'd really say that's it. He came in with a lot of offensive potential, but you know, last year, you look at his stats, only 6 points a game, 37.7% from the field, which that just can't really happen at one of the most efficient teams. So I think that's it. He's just got to be a more well-rounded offensive player.
Yeah, you want to go on to your last question here real quick?
Yeah, I guess just my last thing on Davidson. We know they're not going to be a good defensive team. I don't see a path to them being above average, but last year they were about average when it was all said and done. So My question is just, can they find enough athletes on this team where they can just get enough stops? We know they're not going to hold teams to a low shooting percentage. They're not going to get enough turnovers, really, but they were a great defensive rebounding team. So can we see enough defensive production from guys like Lee, Menenga, guys that'll be out on the court a lot? And then some of their freshmen, too. They get Chris Ford, Dez Watson, a couple wings that are known for their defense. So I don't know. I don't really know where I'm going with this. It's just the point that Davidson has not defended well the last couple years. Can they at least be passable in that regard?
I just expect them to be somewhere between 7th and 10th in defense. They're too well coached to be below that, and they just don't have the athletic talent to be better. So for me, I'm more worried about the offense, and that'll take me to my closing point. How do they get better from last year? They need more assists. The collectivist ball movement works well, but to be a double by team, they're going to need a point guard. They didn't have one last year, and either Lawyer's got to live up to the talent that got him to Michigan State, or Grant Huffman just needs to be better than he was his freshman year.
Yeah. All right. Last comment on Davidson for me. How they get better, honestly, the wild card we didn't talk about at all is that Davidson's getting a freshman from Iceland, which that's got to be scary for all the A-10 coaches around the league, but I'm going to try to say his name, Stymir Þorastsson, 6'7", already 20 years old. So he has some experience playing in Iceland, a little more seasoned than a true freshman. It's hard to find too much information about him, but I'm assuming it was hard to find information on John Axel Goodmanson at the time, at his point in his career. So you never know. If this guy ends up being the real deal, that could shake things up a little bit at Davidson.
I'll let you just close with that because I don't try to pronounce Icelandic names.
Yeah, that one's going to take a while, but hopefully he's good. That would be exciting.
So we move on to the Philly schools. We'll start here with the St. Joseph's Hawks. Basically just lose Ryan Daly. They bring back Jordan Hall, Cameron Brown, Taylor Funk, who had a chance to potentially be all-conference last year, Demir Bishop, Ramir Moore, and Jack Forrest comes back from his mid-season injury. They add a very hyped-up freshman in Eric Reynolds, who's impressed just about anybody who's seen the Hawks practice this offseason. And they add a pair of, finally, centers off the transfer market. Iyike Obinya from Vanderbilt, and the far more easy to pronounce Charles Coleman from East Carolina.
Well, I understand the optimism for St. Joe's. I think that they probably ended the season with about as high of hopes as you could have for a team like that, because they won 4 out of their last 5. Jordan Hall looks like a legit NBA prospect. You mentioned Eric Reynolds. So this is definitely the most optimism there's been for St. Joe's since Billy Lang got the job a couple seasons ago. There's still a lot of weaknesses on this team, though, and I know they just got 2 7-footers. That's got to help their defense in some ways, but that's just such a glaring hole on this team. I feel like we can't help but bring that up. How are they going to get stops this year?
That's the Billy Lang quintessential question. And we'll skip ahead here because you just hit the nail on the head. How do they get better? They need to have interior defense. Not better interior defense. They just need to have it. Because the Taylor Funk at center thing just doesn't work. We've talked about that for 3 years now. It's beautiful on offense, but they need somebody to guard the rim. One of these two transfers, I want to say they need to be an elite shot blocker, but I'm not even sure that that's true. I think they just need to stand there and make teams think that they can't just get a layup every time they go to the hoop like LaSalle did in that crazy overtime game.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Just having the presence of a big guy under the hoop is going to help. But I guess that is my first real question. Like, how much will their interior defense actually improve with Obinya and Coleman? Because looking at the stats, Obinya has been at Vanderbilt, or he was there for 3 years, never much of a shot blocker at all. And then Charles Coleman is just so unproven, only played 5 minutes a game last year at East Carolina. I don't know. I mean, you would think that one of these guys could potentially be an enforcer at the rim and shut other teams down once in a while, more than the Hawks have in the past. But it's not like either of these guys are coming in averaging 2 blocks a game from their previous school. Not even close.
Yeah, and obviously, just like I said, just them being there will make it better. I don't think it has to be something elite, because I like the athletes that they have up top, and I actually think that their perimeter defense is going to be much improved this year. So if they can get just competency down low, they have a chance to get somewhere around league average on the defensive end, which is something that's basically just been unthinkable for the entirety of the Lang era.
So I'm curious, what do you think makes their perimeter defense better? Because I look at this group and it's not all that much different. I mean, I do like a couple of their young guys that didn't play a whole lot last year. Like, in particular, Jadrian Tracy didn't play that much last year. I thought he was pretty good on the defensive end, relatively speaking. But do you think this unit will get better around the perimeter and not give up as many threes?
Well, if they keep playing Cam Brown more, because he was kind of the one shining light on the defense the last 2 years. And then I just think Hall's going to be a plus defender. And so all of a sudden, if Cam Brown and Jordan Hall are out there together for 25, 30 minutes a game, that's just better than what they've had.
Yeah.
Well, especially with a rim protector too. Now you potentially have three above average defenders on the floor. Blasphemy.
Well, and maybe too, going back to when we talked to John Rothstein, who he likes St. Joe's about as much as anybody this year outside of Hawk Nation, but he was floating the idea of St. Joe's playing a zone with all of their size. And, you know, that could be pretty tough when you have Jordan Hall out there on the perimeter at 6'7". You have 2 6'10", 6'11" centers out there. Taylor Funk playing the 3 at 6'8". Maybe a zone could be the way to go, because they will end up being one of the tallest teams in the conference, almost certainly.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to throw like Jack Forrest and Cam Brown as your 2 and your 3, that's lengthy.
6'5", yeah.
They could potentially be an interesting 1-3-1 team, actually, with Hall running the back. I'd actually very, very much like to see that this season.
Yeah. So I guess another big storyline, I think, is that this will be the first time in the Billy Lang era for a full season where they won't have Ryan Daly. He's going professionally now. So I guess my question, what's the impact of his loss going to be? Obviously the guy put up tremendous stats in the A-10. I mean, he was up there in the league lead in the conference and a whole bunch of different stats over the last 2 years. Do you think it's not really going to hurt them as much because they weren't really a good offensive team to begin with, or will they need someone to step up and be another big time scoring threat?
So this is basically my number one question too. The way I wanted to pose it was, who steps up between Eric Reynolds, Demir Bishop, and Cam Brown to take over some of that daily offense? It's going to have to be a collective effort, because he was sensational on that end. But a lot of the St. Joe's excitement is based on how they closed the season. And with the exception of that bizarre LaSalle game that felt like you were tripping something at like 2 in the morning, that thing's still weird to me. What, 10 months later, 8 months later now? Yeah. All those other impressive games were when Daly came back. And so now Daly's gone. And it's still easy to get excited, but those guys are going to have to find a way to replace those 20-ish points. The Eric Reynolds hype would seem to indicate that he can be a big contributor to that, but I'm going to say what I said the last 2 years now. It's got to be something from Cam Brown. He's got to contribute to the team from beyond the arc. I think he can, but I think they're going to miss Daly a lot more than people believe, and that's what will keep them out of the top half.
Yeah, I think that's kind of getting swept under the rug. And I think You know, the Jordan Hall breakout at the end of the season has been well documented, and he was a huge part of that winning streak, but it did coincide right with Daly returning from his injury. And
Funk was way better, too. That's the other piece.
But as for another, like, leading scorer, I think Cameron Brown has a chance. He did actually, some of his best games were during that winning streak at the end. He had 18 against Dayton, 15 against Richmond, and also earlier in the year, he had 21 against Rhode Island. And a heartbreaking loss that St. Joe's really should have won that game. But I just don't know if he's going to be consistent enough. Demir Bishop, I think we kind of all forgot about him coming from Xavier as a former highly touted prospect. But he really he didn't play well at all last year. Only shot 32% from the floor. I don't know. I think there's still hope for him. He's another big guard too at 6'5". But he just didn't really do a whole lot last year. So I honestly think the best chance is that Eric Reynolds might just be a star, and we don't know that much about him yet. I don't know if I really see Brown or Bishop reaching those heights, but we'll see. I know we've both been big Cameron Brown fans for 2 years, so maybe this will be the time.
The only other thing to keep in mind is they'll get their best offense from their forwards that they have in a long time. With Jack Forrest healthy now, being able to slide down to the three, him and Funk playing on separate wings, spotting up, is going to be lethal. Jack Forrest averaged 10 points a game last year. He didn't play a ton, but I kind of can't believe it.
Yeah, he got hurt too the second half of the season. So during St. Joe's winning streak, he actually wasn't playing as much. But I agree, he had a surprisingly really good season after not doing a ton. I believe he came from Columbia. He actually had better numbers at St. Joe's last year, so he could. I mean, if he comes back strong from his injury, then potentially a breakout season there too.
So my last question here, what's their identity? They haven't had an identity yet in the Lang era. I guess it's kind of been three-point shooting.
I mean,
they haven't been good enough to really hang their hat on it. So what is the thing that elevates them this year? What do they go to when the game gets tough? I don't know, and I'm not sure that this roster kind of makes the answer easy.
Well, I think their identity has just been playing with as much tempo as possible. And, I mean, it hasn't worked. It's fun to watch when it does work for about 5 or 6 minutes a game. But I don't know. I wonder if they're going to be able to do that. I almost think bringing in some true centers, they're going to have to adapt a little bit. But you're right. Even though their offense it is fun to watch when it clicks, and they do move the ball pretty well sometimes, just not very often. They're going to have to find something to go to and be a more efficient team. You look at their season. I mean, they're constantly scoring 70, 80, 90 points, but if they give up 100, it just doesn't matter very much. So that really is an important question. What are they actually going to do this year to not just put up a lot of points, but actually win some games?
Yep, and so now we close things out tonight with the other Philly school who is hoping to make a jump out of the pillow fight, the LaSalle Explorers, home to the basketball court up above the pool. They bring back a lot of the squad, a lot of the names we know, Jameer Brickus, Jack Clark, Sharif Kenny, Christian Moore, Christian Ray, Anwar Gill. They all return. They pick up a host of transfers. The biggest name and the one that you're going to hear people rave about in the outside media, definitely Josh Nickleberry, the guard from Louisville.
Yeah, staying in Philadelphia here. And LaSalle, just going back to last season as a reminder, beat each of the preseason top three teams, Dayton, Richmond, and St. Louis, which was as bad as that was for the A-10 getting multiple bids to the tournament, it was pretty hilarious. And it did show that although I think there were kind of circumstances affecting each of those wins that helped LaSalle, it did show these guys can hang with good teams. Unfortunately, they lost enough bad games that they did fall to the pillow fight. So we'll see if Ashley Howard can bring them back this year and get back closer to the middle of the pack.
Also, they somehow played 17 conference games last year, even though there were a bunch of COVID cancellations, and the move up of the A-10 tournament actually made it so most teams would have only even played 16 if they played a full schedule.
Yeah, I don't even. It's so weird still looking back at the standings from last year. I can't even wrap my head around how they played 17 and I don't know. UMass played like 8 or something. So, all right. So, are these guys going to be any good this year? They're a lot of fun. Everybody loves LaSalle, but can they actually prove themselves this year?
Well, I'll reverse the order then. How do they get better from last year? It's the same thing it's been the last two seasons. They need a star. I like the pieces. I like them more than I did last year. But they also don't have anybody who scored double-digit points. Everybody loves Brickus. I'm not sure he's the right scorer. Maybe it's Jack Clark if he's healthy, but even when he has been, he hasn't been consistent. Josh Nickelberry could be the savior. I think we said that about Clifton Moore last year, but heard so many great things about Nickelberry, more than we heard about any of these other LaSalle guys coming in. Somebody's got to be an all-conference player on this team or they're heading back to the pillow fight.
Yeah, I think you're right. This has been a problem for a couple of years, and look, sharing is caring, but if nobody averages double figures, LaSalle's going to stink, period. You need to have somebody step up, be that go-to guy. I think Brickus is a chance. He got a lot of hype last year as a freshman, made it onto the all-rookie team, but I don't know. I mean, he had a good season, but 8.8 points a game, 3.4 assists. Those both have to go up, I think, for LaSalle to be better. Nickelberry's just an interesting player because coming from Louisville, you'd expect a lot. His stats really weren't impressive. Almost all of his shot attempts were threes, and he didn't make very many of them, only about 22%. So he's going to have to have a much bigger impact on offense. But I don't know. If neither of those two guys step up, I don't really know who else will. I think Jack Clark is very talented, but I don't know if I see him as a guy that can carry the team, really.
Yeah, and my first question is just, is Jack Clark going to be healthy?
Yeah, like we made it last year.
I was kind of off the he can be a go-to guy bandwagon. Mm-hmm. And then Dr. John really kind of reiterated to us that he's just never been 100% healthy. He's never been able to get in rhythm. Well, then is he going to be healthy this year? Because it seems to me like even if he misses like 3 or 4 games, he's just not going to be able to properly set himself up for success.
Yeah. I mean, he did thankfully make it. I think he played every game last year, but that is always tough for him, just a guy that has dealt with so many injuries throughout his career. But I don't know. I mean, looking at the team, I don't see a whole lot of other guys that can really break out and be big-time scorers. One guy we haven't talked about yet, or I don't think you mentioned him, is their freshman guard, Khalil Brantley, who's another guy Dr. John liked a lot. And he could maybe potentially, him and Brickus could be an exciting backcourt. Brantley had some really nice offers from Big East schools, so seems like he's got a chance to be kind of sneaky as one of the better freshmen in the conference. Maybe he can be a big scorer, but otherwise, I don't know. I kind of just see a lot of the same as last year for the team.
Yeah, it's really just got to be either Brickus or Nickelberry getting themselves up to like 12, 15 points a game. I think the Brickus thing is kind of along the lines with Yuri Collins. I think he's going to be looking to pass the ball, too. I'm not sure he wants to be the guy to get you 15 points.
So it's my big question for this team, and I think you're – I don't know if you're going to agree with this, but honestly, last year, I think you could make a case that it was LaSalle and not St. Joe's that was the worst team at defending the rim last year. LaSalle was dead last in the conference in defensive efficiency. They were one of the worst teams in allowing field goals at the rim. And overall, just they forced a decent amount of turnovers, but when they weren't turning teams over, teams were just getting easy shots against them. So can this team improve on defense? Can Clifton Moore or somebody else be an actual defender at the rim and get some stops? Because last year, it just didn't happen. And I feel like the offensive struggles where no one really stepped up and was a star, that everyone knows about that. But defensively, this team was just really bad last year. Something I wouldn't have expected.
Yeah, and they lose Jared Kimbrough, who was kind of the one guy who they could actually rely on. Mm-hmm. It's odd. We think of them as a gritty team that does the little things. And I think they were, I think they actually have more defensive talent than the stats indicated. I think there was a little bit of bad luck involved, but they're certainly not like a top half team. For me, I think one of the biggest issues, and this is actually my other question, is on the defensive glass. Can they clean things up? Because I know Kimbrough had less than 4 rebounds a game, but it felt like at times he was the only guy who could actually do those little things for them. And so Clifton Moore just didn't show anything last year. That's what I'm worried about, because I'm not sure who else actually plays center if they just kind of cut their losses there.
Yeah, I mean, I think one area where they might improve, they get Mamadou Doucouré from Rutgers, who probably didn't play much last year. He got a decent amount of minutes as a freshman, and then it just kind of went down and down. Rutgers was a really good defensive team, especially on the inside last year, so maybe he can help them out there. But you're right about Clifton Moore. Kind of a disappointing season. The fact that he came from Indiana, I know I was expecting big things, and he was fine. He hit the game winner at UD Arena, and he ended up being a better outside shooter than I was expecting, but he wasn't that big physical center that I was expecting on offense or defense. So he's going to be important, though, if they're going to improve defensively. I think Doucouré. Otherwise, they just rely so much on Christian Ray, who's a good player, but at 6'6", he's just too undersized to guard a lot of the bigger power forwards in the league.
I don't even think he's a 4. I think he's naturally a 3.
Well, he plays the 4 or sometimes the 5 for this team, though. I think that's, you know, he is that, like, gritty guy for LaSalle, but I would say he was definitely the best defender on the team. Him and Brickus was good, too, but I don't know if they can just get away with that against some of the bigger teams in the conference.
Yeah, I'm concerned there. I mean, I guess my concerns have lied more with the offense, because I just don't see the path if they're not getting themselves to 80 points a game. Whether the defense stinks or not, if they can't put the ball in the hoop, then they're headed to 13th place.
Yeah, I mean, that's just about it. They need to do something really well. And I feel like the last couple of years, they've mostly just – I feel like they've been average at a lot of things, and then last year it was kind of extreme with their defensive struggles. I don't know. Something's got to stand out. Something's got to pop on this team, and it just hasn't really happened. I mean, I'd say the most exciting thing was Howard getting thrown out a couple times, but somebody's got to bring that excitement onto the court.
Yep. And that sums up the Ashley Howard era. Any questions left for the Explorers?
Not really, but I'm excited to see the new mural that's painted on the baseline. That looks pretty nice at the Tom Golder Arena.
I'm excited that after continuing to talk after the buzzer, we just earned ourselves back a nice 27 seconds. So that does it for part 2 of our team previews: St. Louis, Davidson, St. Joe's, and LaSalle. If you haven't yet, be sure to make your way over to part 1, where we talked about St. Bonaventure, UMass, Rhode Island, and Fordham. The other 6 teams will be coming to you over the next 2 weeks. Thank you all for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to give us 5 stars on iTunes. Leave us any comments you got at the @3BidLeaguePod on Twitter, @3BidLeague@gmail.com. Everybody stay safe out there and just continue to hold out a little bit longer. College basketball less than a month away.